We've all had fierce and formidable women in our lives who have shaped who we are now. The Tech and Learning's Honor Roll podcast is dedicated to celebrating women who have shaped the education landscape more than you can possibly imagine. Who better to host this conversation than Drs. Keisha Ray and Frances Gibson, two fierce and formidable women who have been driving innovation in the field of the education world for more than 30 years. Please welcome our hosts, Drs. Keisha Ray and Frances Gibson.
Welcome, everyone, to episode number 42 of Tech and Learning's Honor Roll, a podcast that celebrates fierce and formidable women in education. I'm Keisha Ray.
And I'm Frances Gibson. And we're here today to help you find an awe-inspiring story of inspiration in a leadership journey with another fierce female. This is a story, shall I say, of determination. So let's learn more about this award-winning leader, Patricia Sheha. Patricia earned her bachelor's degree in political science with a minor in mass communications from the University of Florida. I think there's a love story with Florida because she has continued and earned her master's degree in educational leadership from Nova Southwestern University, where she's also pursuing her doctoral degree. Mrs. Trejo has been in public education for over 24 years. Thank you for your leadership. And she has served as a teacher, a learning team facilitator, an assistant principal, and a principal. The hardest job we've ever loved, isn't it? And currently, she serves as a program planner for the Hispanic Latino Studies, where she helps to infuse Hispanic contributions to the United States within the curriculum and instruction in Florida. She serves also as the president for the Florida Association of Latino Administrators and Superintendents and is a graduate of the ALA Superintendents Leadership Academy. She's also a co-facilitator for the National ALAS Linking Latina Leaders Network and presents at the state and national level. And I bet she's going to go international after this. And last year, she was the recipient of the 2021 Association of Latino Administrators and Superintendent Scholarship. She recently was also honored. There's a pattern here, Keisha, can you tell? 2021, and now receiving the 2022 Hispanic Women of Distinction Award. And this award recognizes the positive influence Latinas have had in the South Florida community. I am ready for this story of determination. Patricia is a powerhouse.
Oh, she is. And we're so lucky to have you with us today as one of our sheroes. And I feel like you're just getting started. So you may be a powerhouse now, but in the next few phases, especially after you get that doctorate, my friend, whew, combustion, full on. So during our time together, we like to explore models of leadership. And we focus on what we refer to as a pattern of M. We tried to come up with a pattern of L, but quite frankly, it was just too hard. So we went with M. Yeah, had to go with them. So we asked our guests who their mentors are and how they've impacted your life. And then we kind of ask you about role models and what you see as a reflection in your mirror. And then we move on to movements and mavericks. So hopefully this will all make a lot more sense to you as we go through our time together.
Well, you know what also helps make sense, Keisha, is when we catch any edgy babble we use, you know, like those words or phrases or initializing or acronyms and listing of organizations. And we did it a couple of times in introducing Patricia. We kept saying ALAS. Patricia, the award-winning Patricia, future Dr. Trejo, help us understand what is ALAS and welcome to the honor roll.
Well, thank you so much. I'm actually quite honored to get the invitation to participate in this amazing opportunity. You did mention ALAS quite a few times, and ALAS is a Spanish word that means wings in English. And basically, it stands for the Association of Latino Administrators and Superintendents. And so it is a national organization, and we do have a state affiliate called Florida ALAS. where I humbly serve as the current president. And so what we do is we help to support our students, every single last one of them, with a special emphasis on our Hispanic Latino youth. We hope to provide opportunities that will help them to be successful, whether it's within the elementary, middle, or high school level, and ultimately to be prepared for college and beyond. And so we do provide professional development for our members to help them continue to grow professionally as they go through the various journeys that they have as it relates to the educational journeys. And so we provide that support in order for them to better serve all of our students. And so that is essentially what we do, as well as advocating for equitable and equal opportunities with regard to policies and really just trying to be a voice and advocate to ensure that they are getting the curriculum and the instruction and the supports, whether it's academically or social emotionally, that they need in order to be successful.
Oh, and that is such important work, especially today for our youth. And, you know, we actually have had the national president, Maria Armstrong, on, as one of our honor rolls. So we love the work that you are doing collectively as an organization. And I'm so excited to hear about what is going on in Florida, because Florida leads the country in so many ways on innovation. So I know you guys have got some super innovative stuff that you're doing, and that no doubt will be moving across the country in a wave in the near future. So are you ready to get started with those M's?
Yes.
All right, my friend. Here we go. Can you share with us who your role models are and why?
You know, I'm going to start with saying my father, Fernando Trejo. He is an incredible man that immigrated from Mexico. He started off with working the fields as a farm worker. So I do have four brothers and a sister. And so there were six of us that were going to help support our parents in the fields. And so having that experience and watching him work so hard to be able to provide every opportunity for his children was just absolutely remarkable and inspiring for me to see. Not only did he work the fields as a farm worker, but he then was able to, on his own, pretty much build houses. He did architectural plans on his own without any formal education. So he built several different houses in Mexico and here in Florida. I grew up in one where he built with his own hands, and currently where they both live, both my parents, is a home that he himself had built as well. Moving on to eventually being an owner of his own truck company. And then ultimately making more money than I was when I was a principal at the time. And so I was just absolutely, as I said, I was inspired and just proud to see this man just do so much for his kids and to inspire us to push forward and to ensure that we got the education that we needed so that we weren't working those types of jobs and having to go through some of those challenges that he had to endure.
It is clear that determination runs in this family, both in the hands and in the mind. As you shared this story and how it started with your father, Fernando Trejo, I'm also reminded of a conversation with you about the impact of folks like Dolores Huerta too. And she had this quote that I love that I think really represents what you said. I've got a little list of my favorites here. And she says, we must use our lives to make the world a better place to live, not just acquire things. That is what we were put on earth for. And you embody that and your family embodies that. And there's quite a legacy that's continuing, not only in your personal family, but it sounds like in your professional family. And as you think about that professional family and the support you have, who are some of your mentors and how have they influenced you? Because this is really some virtual mentoring space. You are now one of those, and we'd love to know more about who's influencing you.
Yes, you know, to start off with, you know, who's influenced me, of course, has been Dolores Huerta, and I'm glad that you highlighted her. During the time that both my parents were farm workers, they had actually protested under the leadership of both Cesar Chavez and Dolores Huerta, and they did believe in what she had coined that sí se puede y sí se pudo now, right? And so it was fascinating to have the experience as a child to be right there along with my parents, to be vocal underneath both of their leaderships. And I have had the privilege and honor of meeting with her personally in person and still keep in contact with her. And I admire the fact of just the amazing work that she has been able to accomplish. She has been very influential in my life. And she has also given me some really great advice in the sense of there are times where I have asked, how do you do this work? You know, because it's difficult at times, especially when you're advocating and you're voicing for circumstances or situations, whether it's policy or different experiences that may not be as positive, you know. And so I've asked, you know, how do you navigate through that? And how do you not give up? And I recall her response to me was, well, she's like, one day the Lord's going to call onto you and he's going to say, turn around. And when he says to turn around, what is he going to see? And I immediately was just like, well, I get slapped on the wrist a lot. So I don't know, I guess slashes on my back. And she says, well, then that means you're doing the right work. Because if you don't have anything on your back, then, you know, you need to go back and continue to serve and do the right work. And so it really just stayed with me. Of course, she articulated a little bit more beautifully, but it, you know, to summarize, that was what her advice was to me. And it really helped me to push forward and persevere through certain challenges and circumstances that I had gone through, whether it was going through school at a young age, or even through my adult life. I was fascinated to finally be a part of a familia such as the National Association of Latino Administrators and Superintendents, because it allowed me to finally identify with other women and men that were of Hispanic Latino descent. I could identify with these leaders that were inspirational. I could, you know, I could finally see myself in others. And when I say that I finally was able to see others that look like me, it, obviously it's not about the physical presence. It's about the similarity with regard to the experiences as it relates to being a Hispanic Latina. And so it really was refreshing. And I felt such calmness and such security and safety and really, the familia has really motivated me and inspired me to push forward and to do the best that I possibly can in order to continue to serve others.
Oh, wow. And speaking of seeing yourself in a way, when did you first look in the mirror and see yourself as a leader looking back?
What a great question. I go back and I think about the time that I was in high school, where I was elected as the first Latina to serve as the student government president. Right then and there was when I realized the influence that I had with my friends and different students within the various grade levels. I realized that my voice was being heard and that I could really make a great impact within my school. To the point where, fast forward, I ended up having the honor of being inducted as the first Latina to my high school's Hall of Fame. And so, yes, and so I was really, really touched by that. And so it was that time when I was elected by my peers. It really showed that they trusted me, they believed in me, and I had gained and earned their respect.
Well, you have gained and earned our respect, Patricia. Yours is such not only the story of determination that we started opening with, but it's really also a story of voice. It's a story of representation and also of influence. Gosh, you know, I love Dolores Huerta. We've had the chance to meet her many times here in Los Angeles and name schools after her and see her inspiration. And so I feel like there's this kinship in some of our stories here. And she always talks about, like, much like your high school story, that, like, everything is an organizing opportunity and that each and every one of us is an activist, right? And the question is, what are we going to activate for? And one of the things that I'm sure she shared with you so many times in your conversation, that, like, every minute, every moment, every hour, or in your case, every year of an award is an opportunity to change the world. So I'm curious, how do you see women, much like yourself and Dolores Huerta and Maria Armstrong and my co-host here, Keisha Ray, how do you see women changing the world, yourself included?
I see them not being afraid of being vocal. Some more graceful than others, right? Depending on the circumstance. But I see them breaking down barriers and not being afraid to speak up when needed. Making sure that they are serving regardless of who it may be, regardless of race, ethnicity, religion, sexuality, et cetera. Just being able to go out there and not be afraid to come together as one and to be vocal. I have seen many women, as the fortunate experience that I have had with serving as the co-facilitator for the National Alas Linking Latina Leaders Network, where I have seen these incredible women that have been able to uplift one another and believe in each other and inspire one another. It has been absolutely incredible to be able to be in a room, whether it's virtual and in person, to see incredible Latinas and even women that are not Hispanic Latinas that are there to support and to understand, to be able to better serve. And so I ultimately believe that women have been changing the world just by being vocal and not being afraid to be vocal, especially when it's needed. And especially when it's for and about our kids.
So very needed. You know, in many ways, you've already answered that. What are we looking for in Mavericks? We're looking for disruptors. We're looking for folks who are unapologetic about doing the right thing. And to do the right thing, Patricia, we also have to take care of ourselves, right? So as women, there's so much when it comes to self-care. So I guess, like, here's the quiz show for today. Like, how many of us, like, took our vitamins? How many of us already drank some water today? How many of us took a deep breath? Maybe, I know, Keisha, you did this already. You cleared a spot in your space today. Maybe you have a mantra. Did you give a hug to somebody? Or did you even, you know, in the spirit of the mentors you've talked about today, did you situate yourself in a place where you could accept an offer of help? So these are some examples that we've heard. And we're curious to the future, Dr. Trejo. Share with us your wisdom. Like, how do you take care of yourself so that you can be in this space of leadership with others and make sure that you're also feeding your soul? What do you do?
In all honesty, this particular question is one that I personally still struggle with, because those that know me know that I am a nonstop servant, literally. I enjoy what I do when I am serving others, that I don't know how to say no. It's only recent, as of yesterday, I had to say no, and it made me uncomfortable because I had to recognize and realize that I could no longer add more to my plate because it was overflowing, and it broke my heart. And so, in all honesty, as I said, I'm struggling to try to balance it all myself. I can tell you that when I look in the faces of my own children, of course, it brings that balance, and it helps me to recognize and realize that I need to take a pause and I need to really take a moment to be in the moment with my kids, with my family, with my parents that I'm still fortunate to still have with me. So I don't know the answer to that question, other than to say that I am working hard to balance it myself, and just trying to stay healthy. I did take my vitamins today. I will say that. I started once again this past weekend, realizing and recognizing that I needed to make sure that I am staying healthy and hydrated. So yes, I did drink my water today also.
Look at you, self-care. You've got a couple in there.
I'll make it, it's very intentional though, honestly. It's very intentional and just making sure that I take care of myself, because if I obviously can't take care of myself, then I'm not going to be able to take care and serve others, which is what my passion is.
Girl, preach, preach. So glad you said all of that. It is so hard sometimes because you're a servant everywhere, right? You're a servant at home to your kids and your family. You want them to be well taken care of. You want, you know, your kids to know that you're there for them. You have to be a servant at work. You're a servant in your volunteer life. Mm-hmm. So you're like, my gosh, I don't even have time to serve myself. I have not taken my vitamins today. I haven't even taken my required medications today. So I'm like really running behind. But it is, like Francis says, serving plates, you know, we all have more than we can really hold and juggle. And I think that is like, it's a power and a flaw for women, right? Because it's a power that we can juggle so much, but it's a flaw because we feel compelled to have to juggle that much, mm-hmm. you know? So that's why we got the honor roll, bring up all of us together so we can hold one another up. I can hold some of your plates. Frances is going to have to hold some of mine.
I got a platter for you.
Yeah, she's got a platter. But yeah, that's the beauty of this movement that we're trying to drum up here. All right, my friend, now we have a little kind of insights. We call it a game, but it's really more of a reflection-ish part of our podcast where we're going to start with giving you a sentence starter, so to speak, and then you're going to reflect on it and finish the sentence starter with something that's personal to you. And you can elaborate on that if you'd like to. So here's the first one. An event that changed my world view.
Honestly, it was when I had personally been in a leadership capacity serving as a principal, where I saw students that were unfortunately being discriminated against due to their race and ethnicity and language ability. And so it really changed me in the sense that I knew I needed to push forward and be vocal in certain areas as it relates to education to ensure that all of our kids are indeed getting the equal, equitable opportunities that they deserve. And it's been very uncomfortable, I will admit. I certainly have had my fair challenges in navigating and really going through some of those experiences that I have had. But ultimately, I believe that they have helped me to only persevere and to push forward and to continue to push forward to, again, ensure that all of our kids are getting the necessary education that they deserve to have in order to be successful adults and beyond.
Thank you so much for being courageous and honest to say that. You know, in the program that I work with, we prepare superintendents with their PhD. And one of the things we've done is actually created a course around how to be an equity warrior and really make sure that as superintendents, as system leaders, that we can go out and be unapologetic about talking about marginalization in schools and how we support our young people. And you're channeling for me Venezuela's work on subtractive schooling and just how we need to call that out, but also be prepared to support and change the systems. And it sounds like that's exactly what you are doing and have a lot of synergy around continuing to do. You know, this might be connection to that next piece. So are you ready for this one?
Okay.
All right. I became a stronger person after. I don't know if you could get stronger after what you just said, but you became a stronger person after what?
I became a stronger person after I have had some experiences where I have felt that I may have failed. But instead of allowing that to really affect me in a negative way, I have pushed forward and really have worked hard to, whether it's to get professional development for myself, whether it's to get additional supports or mentors or coaches, or whether it's to surround myself with like-minded people, as well as even just going back and getting my doctoral degree. You know, I believe that we all experience certain experiences that are meant for us to experience in order for us to be better, whether it's better servant leaders, and or to be able to better support others that may be going through similar situations. In the capacity that I serve as president of Florida Alas, I love the opportunities that I have had and to be able to offer professional development and or even just conversations with leaders of color and to help them navigate through certain unique circumstances and challenges that they may have that others may not endure, whether it's due to their race, their ethnicity, and or even just to the colorism. Because it all exists and it's all there. And these are topics that are uncomfortable for people to discuss. And so to be able to provide that safe learning environment where leaders of color can be open and to share and to say and to ask and say, you know, how can I navigate through this circumstance? You know, what is the best response I can provide under the circumstances? Those are the experiences that have meant so much to me, because when I was in that capacity at a school-based level, I didn't have that. I didn't have the coaching and the mentoring that I so yearned for to ask some of those really uncomfortable questions on how to navigate some of those circumstances. And so now to be in this capacity to be able to provide those opportunities to others has really been beneficial to see and to experience.
It's so cool, Patricia, that you have done this really your whole career, right? Because you saw children that were, because of their language, because of their color, were treated in a way that they should have never been treated. And I see professionals treated that way. You see professionals treated that way. And sometimes you see them and they just take it. They just accept it. They're like, well, you know, yeah, I'm a woman. I'm a Latina. I'm a this. So this is just how I'm treated. And the answer is, oh, freaking no, that is not the way you're treated. Mm-hmm. And let me teach you how to stand up and how to take power over the situation and not let people treat you. Like, let's raise our voices, as you said earlier, and let people know this is not acceptable. This is a no-go situation here, and help them have that power. Because I think so many of us in a female situation, in a Latino, in an African-American, in a I'm a different than a you mm-hmm. situation, feel like, well, this is just how it is. And that is absolutely not how it is. And you are empowering them to say no. And I honor you for that. And I appreciate that so much on behalf of all the ladies.
Thank you.
And gentlemen, maybe, but definitely the ladies that you've done that for. So I can imagine that you've improved a lot of lives through your work. I know you improved your children's yeah. lives, that you stood in and said, no, we're not going to have this, and the people that you lead through Alas. But when did your life improve? Oh. What point can you look back on and say, my life improved when I...
Yes, well, I mean... It improved when I had my three kids, my three very own kids. You know, I've got two daughters and a son, and he's in college, Sebastian, and Mayalina and my Katarina. They are just absolutely my inspiration. I hope that I am able to leave a legacy, you know, where they are going to be proud, you know, of, and to be able to hopefully inspire them to do so much more than what I was able to do. I do talk to them a lot about what I do within my work, and they have personally experienced and have seen the amount of of work that I do outside of my day job. And I do see that they get inspired and try and make every effort to serve, you know, themselves. And so for me, it, of course, it makes me proud. But yes, my life improved when I had my own, my very own that I could look at and inspire and like I said, hopefully have them be proud of the work that I've been able to accomplish.
Well, pride, I am certain, will be beaming from your children. You know, it's been great. We've had lots of moms on the honor roll, and it's been fascinating because they said, you know, my adult children or my younger children went back and listened to the podcast, and they're just blown away by their parents' stories because they know them personally, but they don't always know their professional world. So I hope that your three beautiful personal children, and I know you said personal intentional, because as educators, we feel like that all children are children that we have the honor to serve and that they feel like our familia. I can't wait to hear what they say about mom after listening to this and the pride that's evoked with them. You know, we have one final, like, finish this thought. Are you ready?
Okay.
A decision that changed your life.
A decision that changed my life. I mean, that it was joining the Alas Familia, honestly. Like I said, it really allowed me to have that sense of belonging that was missing as an adult. I experienced that as a child growing up because I was a migrant Mexican Latina that couldn't speak English growing up until I finally got to middle school and then ultimately was able to graduate 12th in my high school with high honors. And it was the perseverance and really not giving up and all of that. And so when I finally in my adult life was able to have the privilege of learning about National Alas and its existence and applying and going through the process of having the opportunity to be accepted into the Superintendent's Leadership Academy that is hosted by National Alas. I mean, that in itself was just remarkable. One that I was accepted. I was surprised. I was genuinely surprised. I was in tears. Dr. Armstrong, when she called me, she will share with you that I could barely even speak because I was in tears because I was touched that an organization believed in me. They didn't give up on me. They believed in me. They uplifted me. They empowered me. And they still to this day support me. And my fascinating academic instructors, both Dr. Carmela Franco and Dr. Hector Montenegro, are still in my life. And they check up on me and they coach me and they mentor me. And that means a lot. And that's what I would love to be able to provide to other leaders, that when they are going through those certain circumstances where they may have felt that they didn't necessarily excel in or something may have happened where their trajectory changed, we can't give up on them, right? We can't give up on them. We've got to continue to lift them up, hold their hand, physically, you know, embrace them and help them to get back on that horse and get them going. I love the quote by Jaime Escalante that talks about, it doesn't matter how many times you fall. What matters is how many times you get back up. And so that's what I feel that National Alas has done for me. They helped me, guided me, coached me, have mentored me, have inspired me, and have embraced me con todo el cariño that they could possibly virtually or physically give me. And so it was National Alas. It was National Alas. And I thank them every single day. And Dr. Armstrong can tell you that. You know, when I spoke with her in the state affiliates last week, where I'm always thanking National Alas. I'm very grateful and appreciative to the organization and the individuals and the leaders, la familia, todos. Mis primos y mis primas, mis hermanos, mis hermanas, every last one of them.
You shine brightly, and there is no doubt that that phone will continue ringing, that the social media will continue to be on fire, because you have a story that everyone wants to be connected to, you're an ally, you're a leader, you're a disturber in the every potential possibility of ways that we can influence and change. And so we can't thank you enough for disturbing our system a little bit today. And, you know, Patricia, when you said Jaime Escalante, I have to tell you, I was superintendent over Garfield High School. So you are making like every little part of my soul just light up today. And as I know it is for so many of our listeners, you have been action packed. You have been consciousness evoking in this dialogue with us. And I know I have learned so much, not only from the connection, but the connections I want to continue. And I'm wondering, Keisha, what are some of the things that you're connecting to in this conversation?
Oh, my goodness. Well, first of all, I feel like I'm connecting to a superstar that has just been ignited. Like you just like, there's no telling what your trajectory is going to be. I feel like you could be sitting in Maria's seat in a few years. I mean, you've got to finish that dissertation, which is not going to take a long time. But, you know, I definitely see you in a national role in your future. And I can't wait. I can't wait for you to be in that seat and for you to have the impact over the whole country that you have had just in your beautiful state of Florida. I think that it is so hard as a minority woman to step out and step up. And I just applaud you for doing that. You do it when so many other women are afraid and intimidated and powerless. And when they see you, they see themselves and they see the opportunity to step up and step out. And that's not just in education, that's everywhere. Because the things that you do in your role in education influence every single child that is watching you, your own children included. And I'm sure you will see your daughters in roles that you never imagined for yourself because of the work that you're doing in Florida and soon nationally. So I appreciate your work. I know how hard it is. And I know how much time you're having to take away from your family to do it. And I challenge you to, you know, call that balance line in every once in a while. But, I know it's going to be impactful for so, so, so many children and women and Latinas. And I appreciate it so much. Yeah. That's what I got. Hey, is there anything you want to share with our audience that you haven't already shared? Or maybe something you would tell your younger self, right? When you were a brand new migrant coming in, not speaking the language, not, you know, the English language, not feeling like you fit in, what would you tell that child today? Because there are a lot of children in those same shoes today.
To not give up, to not give up,
yeah.
And to believe in yourself and just to continue to push forward and persevere. I leave you with that. I'm humbled, I'm grateful, and I'm thankful. Thank you for giving me this wonderful opportunity to share a little bit of myself.
You've shared so much, and we continue to want to learn more with you and watch your journey, as do our listeners. You know, Keisha, I'm also thinking that our podcast needs to be sponsored by Kleenex, because if we were actually on yeah. video, everybody would see yes. like the tears of love and joy and perseverance on this podcast. It's a story of connectedness in so many different ways. And those tears are tears of power also, because it's the outward representation of how full your heart is. And so as we think about our journey that will continue together, and how our own audience is reflecting on their own purpose and finding their voice, I have one of those coaching questions, Keisha. And it's in honor of the future Dr. Trejo, national, international leader extraordinaire. And so yes. today's question is, how might you be part of a familia movement and increase representation, voice, and influence in your community? Again, how might you be part of a familia movement and increase representation, voice, and influence in your community?
Oh, I love that one, Frances. And I love it because so many communities need a Patricia and they need a Frances and they need people who will come together, no matter what your background, no matter what your language ability, to come together and speak in one unified language of hope and prosperity for our kids and for their futures. So I love that question. See, Patricia, I told you, we always cry on our podcast. It's awesome, though, because it means we touch hearts, and our guests do, too. And I just can't wait to see. I have dibs on naming a school after you, though. I'm just going to call it.
Oh,
it's going to be in Nashville.
Wow.
It's going to be in Nashville. And we're going to have the Patricia Trejo Middle School. That's what's going to be right here.
What a compliment.
Yes. It's going to be right here. So don't let anybody else do it. It has to happen here in Nashville.
It's been recorded. All right.
That's right. I got dibs. Hey, we can't thank you enough for being with us today and spending just a little bit of time with us and sharing your relentless advocacy with our listeners. And we want to encourage our listeners to join our next podcast, where we're going to highlight yet another amazing Shiro in education and explore their M's. So please don't forget to follow our hashtag TL Honor Roll, R-O-L-E, and respond to the coaching question that Frances just shared. And until then, be fierce and be formidable.
The Tech and Learning's Honor Roll podcast is produced by Keisha Ray, Frances Gibson, and Christine Weiser. Audio production by Mitchell Tulin and AV Nation. Tech and Learning's Honor Roll theme music is by Madison Van Gundy. Find more episodes on techlearning.com and follow us at hashtag TL Honor Roll. That's TL Honor, R-O-L-E.